Our lab research is very interested in mechanisms for regulation of estrogen receptor. And this has been driven by the fact that clinically I'm very interested in hormone-responsive breast cancer. And I'm also struck by the fact, though, that there are about a quarter of breast cancers that lack estrogen receptor. So we've been thinking for some time about why that might be. One of the mechanisms that caught our interest because of my location at Johns Hopkins was the concept that there might be epigenetic silencing mechanisms that would lead to loss of estrogen receptor expression. That's a very hot field right now because these changes are ones that modify expression of a gene. But unlike mutations, for example, which are permanent, epigenetic changes are potentially reversible. So there's a huge interest in that because you might think about being able to take advantage of it therapeutically. And I think the other reason why there's a lot of interest is that a lot of genes are epigenetically silenced in cancers generally, not just breast cancer. These changes are felt to be a hallmark for cancer. So these changes, which you can detect molecularly on pretty small specimens, might have the possibility for being risk assessment tools or potentially screening tools.
This might seem like a simple question, but what happens to estrogen receptor and estrogen receptor responsiveness as you go from a normal cell, you know, sort of through the carcinogenic process?
Yeah, it is a simple question with a complicated and not well understood answer. I think the thought is that most normal mammary epithelial cells actually have very little estrogen receptor expression. Some of those premalignant lesions, like atypical duct hyperplasias, atypical hyperplasias, for example, the Baylor group has suggested that those are pretty rich in estrogen receptor expression. We know that duct carcinoma in situ, because we measure it now, that some of them are estrogen receptors positive, a lot of them are, but some are estrogen receptor negative, and we're now using that to differentiate for the use of tamoxifen or not. And of course, we know in the invasive cancer situation that the majority of breast cancers are estrogen receptor positive. So how this progression or this continuum might take place, I think, is a pretty complicated one. And you know, one of the big questions is whether these two kinds of invasive breast cancers deviate early or whether, in fact, one logically progresses into the other.
What about the estrogen receptors themselves? Are they altered or changed? Are they more or less responsive?
So I'm not aware of any information on that. I think that early in the kind of cancer gene searching story, at the time, for example, that P53 was described, when tumor suppressor genes were described, there was the thought that for a lot of genes like P53, that what you would have would be some kind of mutation of one copy of the gene and then a loss of the second gene in some fashion. It could be a loss of the chunk of the genome. It could be an epigenetic mechanism like methylation, but you have to inactivate both copies of the gene. So once the estrogen receptor alpha was cloned, there was actually a lot of work sequencing it. And the thought, of course, would be that many of the women who had estrogen receptor negative breast cancers had a mutated protein, and that's why it wasn't expressed. And that turned out not to be the case. Those mutations are really rare. So in breast cancers, estrogen receptor is generally intact. And the problem is that the tumor doesn't make the transcript anymore. It doesn't transcribe the RNA, so it doesn't make protein. And so we were very interested in these epigenetic modifications, histone modifications or DNA methylation, as a way of silencing estrogen receptor gene expression. And it turns out it happens in a lot of cancers if you use PCR-based techniques.